Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. I'm going to say a phrase, and I will bet you know this phrase and have heard of it and even know where it came from. The phrase is, headless body in topless bar. Does that, aside from bringing a smile to your face of just the sheer cleverness and audacity of it, I'm sure you realize that was a headline in a newspaper about an actual story, and that there's only really one place a headline like that would have appeared. Wasn't in the New York Times, that's for sure. Wasn't in the Wall Street Journal, although if Rupert changes the Wall Street Journal in every way, it just might be sometime. But no, that is a New York Post headline. And whatever you want to say about that newspaper, it does have a style and a moxie all its own. I guess it's the first time I've used that word in a while. But they've actually compiled a book of classic New York Post headlines and front pages and even headlines that aren't necessarily on the front page, just because every once in a while they're so jaw-droppingly funny or just you cannot believe A, someone thought of it, and B, it got through editorial and landed on the front page in people's hands. And now they've compiled them all into a book called Headless Body in Topless Bar, the best headlines from America's favorite newspaper. Okay, a little bit of audacity right there. But anyway, one of the people, the many people who compiled that book is Chris Shaw. I'd like to get him on the air here and talk about the putting together of that book and the way headlines are done at the Post, and all sorts of cool journalistic stuff like that. So, Chris Shaw, welcome to the Daverhood.
Well, thank you, Dave. It's good to be here.
Did you notice Daverhood? That's the kind of thing that I do. It's like, I'm Dave. Dave's Gone By Daverhood. See, that's a Posty sort of a thing to do.
You know what, Dave? There are a lot of people out there who could be good headline writers. It sounds like you might be one of them.
Well, okay. I'll send my resume tomorrow. But before we get to that, of course, the idea for the book just seems like such a natural. But who had the initial idea to compile all this?
Honestly, it was the publishers over at HarperCollins. They came to us, and we had talked about it for years. In fact, Laura Harris, who is our chief librarian at the Post, had been wanting to do this for 20 years and had been saving these in her drawer and waiting for this phone call to come. And they contacted me, and I said, I've got the perfect person to help me with this. And we took it off from there, and we had a blast doing it, putting it together, going around the newsroom, calling former employees, soliciting their opinions. And once we put it together, narrowing down the choice, we had to cut it down to about 180, I think 200 headlines in the book. It was really difficult. And then after we submitted all the headlines that were in there, we kept producing better ones, and we would go back to them and say, wait, have you started printing yet? Right? We have more we want to put in. I think there's another one coming soon.
This is a brand new book, and I was kind of shocked. I mean, I was thumbing through it, and I saw when Governor McGreevy had that thing where he announced he was gay and cheating and Golan Sipple and all that. And I said, oh, my God, this is a recent book. And then I looked at the headline, and it was from 2004. Didn't even feel that long ago that went on.
It's incredible, but he started the spate of incredible stories involving our local governors, didn't he?
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, man. I mean, do you remember what, this was too recent, but what did you guys do for Spitzer?
Well, we did on day one, the headline was just a very simple, ho, no.
yeah.
And I'll tell you, Dave, we constantly receive phone calls, emails from our readers with suggestions for headlines.
I believe it.
It happens all the time. But I'd never seen anything like it, like the Spitzer story.
Mine would have been, Eat Her Yes, Spitzer No. I don't know what that means.
Well, the most popular one that I can say on the radio was Elliot Mess.
that's good.
Yeah, that must have come in from many, many people. But it didn't stop. And people were calling me, were emailing me, and they were saying, we're having contests in our office right now to see if we can get this one. You got to use this one. You got to use this one. It was incredible how many people wanted to get involved.
Did you use Elliot Mess?
No, we didn't.
Why not?
You know what? Looking back, we may have. It's just, you know, we ended up getting some saucy pictures of the prostitute that he was involved in, and it kind of took a life of its own.
So the hoe made more sense on that.
It did.
Wow. Well, that is pretty good, though. So what are some of the headlines that did make the book Headless Body and Topless Bar?
Well, I mean, there's about 180 of them that are in there. And the, We just put a poll up on our website over the last 2 weeks.
And if you've ever been polled, you know just how painful that can be.
Yes.
Little letterman. Yeah.
We picked what we thought were about the 32 most popular ones, at least from our conversations, and we asked readers to vote on them.
Uh-huh.
And they narrowed down to what we called our final four, and it was voted on over the last week. And the ones that were the most popular were, as expected, Headless Body and Topless Bar.
Uh-huh.
Holy Shiite was about the Newsweek, when Newsweek printed a story and then subsequently retracted it, of the Koran being flushed down the toilet.
Oh, that was a I didn't realize that story was retracted.
Yes, wow. It was retracted.
Whoops. And by the way, before we get to the next one then, was that really, really tough to get on the front page?
No.
That one they just sort of blinked and said, oh, yeah. I can't believe that.
It was perfect, and it was the perfect combination of visual, as we literally put Newsweek in a toilet in there, and then the headline, it was perfect. Look, Dave, we're on speed dial for a lot of organizations, and they're going to come after us. And we understand that. Yes, sometimes we're going to push the envelope, so to speak, and we're going to get some comments, but we just kind of go for it. So Holy Shiite was that one.
Mm-hmm.
A very recent one, which I was very surprised to see, which was Bad Air Day. Now that was a picture of Brooke Astor's son, after the courts had ruled that he wasn't going to get any money, and his hair is literally flying up in the wind. It almost looks like he has a wig on. That one made it in there, and of course now I'm going to forget.
Why were you surprised that made it?
I thought it was very clever. I just thought there were some more classic ones, like Wacko Jacko Backo, when Michael Jackson had returned.
Oh.
And
I liked the Mike Tyson one, Bite of the Century.
Fantastic.
That's brilliant, yeah.
I mean, and that one we came up with, I mean, that was about 12:30 at night. I happened to be working that night. I was in the sports department back then. And that was about 12:30 at night, and we were probably had 40,000 papers left to print, and we smacked it on the presses and got it on there. I thought it described it wonderfully. One of my personal favorites was Snake on a Plane, right after the movie came out, and it was a picture of John Mark Carr.
That pedophile kind of weirdo.
Exactly, flying back from the Far East to here. One of the classic ones, too, was Donald Trump. When he was first dating Marla Maples, we had a quote from her, and the headline was, "The best sex I ever had." And we have a picture of Donald Trump with this cat that ate the canary grin.
Right,
it was just a wonderful combination. So it was just interesting to see what the readers thought, but it's been a ton of fun, and the reaction has been great.
Sponsor me, Dave's gone by. Run your ad, folks will buy. If you want to reach the public, sponsor me. Advertise on this program for incredibly reasonable rates with long-term discounts. See prices at davesgoneby.org or call 516-295-1511. Sponsor me. If you're wise on Dave's Gone By, you'll advertise. If you want to be successful, sponsor me.
This is Chris Shaw from the New York Post and one of the co-authors of Headless Body and Topless Bar, and you are listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB Freeport.
We're talking with Chris Shaw, who is one of the main authors or compilers.
I am, yes.
Who was the other main impetus? What was her name?
Well, Laura Harris is our librarian,
mm-hmm.
and we leaned very heavily on Barry Gross, who is the chief copy desk editor. So he's the one ultimately responsible for all the headlines you see in the inside of the newspaper. That's his team that he runs. And a couple copy editors, Rob Walsh and John Blackwell, who work specifically with him. And then again, we went back to other people in the newsroom. Vinny Musetto, who's one of our film critics, wrote the headline, Headless Body and Topless Bar.
And that was a Musetto? Oh, wow.
Yep. And Vinny's very funny about it these days. He wishes that people would forget it was him, because he loves the headline and he's proud of it, but he's more proud of his work as a film critic. And so
and nobody quotes that ever.
Exactly.
And reading it, it's like, oh, wow, that's what he thought. And then, boom, I know that feeling. Let me ask also, though, are there other examples of headlines, they don't have to even be recent, that were really wonderful but too risque to pop in, you know, be in the front page, or maybe they had to be hidden?
Sure, I understand. I mean, The bigger problem we have, honestly, is that we'll get a great headline that someone will come up with, but it literally won't fit properly on the page.
Ooh.
That's what people, I don't think, appreciate about how difficult it is to do headline writing is. So you could, there could be a great story, and you could come up with the funniest, punniest phrase to go with it, but if it's 10 words long, right, and it just doesn't work. So that's why I'm in such awe of Barry and his team, who every night are able not only to come up with these terrific headlines, but they write them in the tightest fashion possible, right? We're a tabloid newspaper. We have very small specs, is what we call it in the newsroom, that they can write to. So you think like doing the Times crossword is hard. Try this every night.
So it's only got to be like 6 or 7 words, and that's
at the most.
Whoa, okay.
At the most. I mean, sometimes you're talking about you could have as few as 10 characters that you can use in here. I mean, we have very large headlines, so the point size is extreme. So it's an incredibly difficult job, and they do a wonderful job, and they're doing about 80 to 90 headlines a night on the inside of the paper.
Well, I think that the gold standard of all this, even before Headless Body, was from Variety, where some genius, I don't know, did they ever... it's great that, you know, Muzzetto wrote that headline, that there's someone who actually has that credit. It's like a Samuel Goldwynism. But we all know the Variety Sticks, Hicks, Nicks, Picks. Oh, no, Sticks, Nicks, Hicks, Picks.
Right.
Which is the very famous one about people in the hinterlands not going for Ma and Pa Kettle type pictures. And they just got it in 4 words, all with alliterative rhyme. So is that what you all shoot for?
Sometimes. I just think the thing we shoot for first and foremost is we're trying to get you to read the story, Dave.
Mm.
Right? That is the ultimate goal, whether it's on the front page. We saw a lot of newspapers on the street. And we do have to catch your eye.
Do you get a bump when you have a really great headline? Do you notice the subscription, the newsstand sales jump?
It can help a little bit. The thing that's going to jump the most is a good story. So when you get the combination, and Spitzer's obviously the most recent example for us, but when you get a combination of a great headline like we did, and Oh No really captured everyone's attention, but it was the story really that pushed it, and that'll carry on all week long. I mean, that can go for days. So it can really help.
Now, there have been once in blue moons where I have noticed that both the Post and your nemesis, the Daily News, have the same cute headline. Is there any way you don't have spies back and forth who make sure that, that nobody has the same idea twice? Because that is a very possible thing to happen.
Sure. It'll happen a handful of times a year, whether on the front page or the back page. And there's even been a couple nights, and I just don't remember what the headlines were specifically, where we've had the same on the front and the back.
Oh, wow.
And, yes, there are spies, and each newspaper looks at the other person's newspapers every night about midnight. And there have been times where we've had an editor-in-chief call up and say, change it because I don't want to have the same as them.
We've seen
them do the same to us. But it's kind of happenstance. You know, if it happens, it happens.
It's never intentional. It's just people coming up with a pretty, like, oh, yeah, of course, that's got to be the headline.
No.
Right.
But what is intentional in the business is you will see that one of the newspapers in town may have a story in an earlier edition, and then you will somehow see that same story or a rewritten version of that story appear in the other person's paper later on that night.
Oh, sure.
That happens all the time.
You know, that's where you get the news. I did journalism for about 5.5 years at a theater website. It was a theater news-oriented website. And sure, we were digging up our own stories, but also constantly checking for the New York Times, for Theater Mania, for Broadway.com, for all those places. And if we saw something, we'd try and get the story. If we couldn't, it would be like, reported by,
yep,
and we'd get up there as quickly as possible, and then go and get our own quotes and fact-check it. But it was more important to get the story out there first, you know?
Sure, and in the Internet age, it's happening more and more. I mean, no one's really holding anything back anymore, Dave. I mean, we're putting everything up live, real time.
Have you had recent examples where that was kind of a mistake? Like, you know, oops?
No, we haven't had that. But I'll tell you a funny story, which is in the book, about mistakes.
Sure.
And that is, we wrote a headline back in, I think it was the 2 elections ago, where we went out and said that John Kerry's choice for his vice presidential nominee was going to be Dick Gephardt. And we thought we had it from an impeccable source, and we went to print with it, and we were on the street the next morning, and about 11 o'clock in the morning, it wasn't Dick Gephardt. And we knew we were going to get hammered on this one. So we had all day long to figure out how are we going to kind of run a correction about this, right? We could. There was a couple ways we could do it. We could run a couple paragraphs like the Times might on page two. But instead what we did was we wrote the exact same headline, same presentation, but yeah, just changed one word, and that was the name of whom the nominee was. And we received great reaction to that because we just poked some fun at ourselves, and we kept a sense of humor about the whole thing. And so I think that's what we try to do with the Post, is we do try to keep everything a little bit light and make you smile a little bit.
Well, did people laugh at it, or were they just in the sense that you didn't really quite acknowledge that you boo-booed? And well, maybe that is an acknowledgement that it was a boo-boo.
It was hard not to be an acknowledgement. I mean, it was on page one, and it was all over the place, and believe me, it was AP picked it up, and they were running the two front pages next to each other around the world. I think that they got it. I think that it went over pretty well.
Did you ever have any howler kind of things that Leno would pick up for his headlines where you noticed a misprint? And probably not on the front page, but some really bad grammatical or silly error?
You know, not that I can specifically think of, but I can tell you that we are certainly we are a lot of fodder for Leno, really specifically Letterman. He has a ton of fun with us at all the times. And the person who actually has the most, not even fun with us, is Dick Wolf with his Law and Order series, who all the time is just riffing on what we've written in the newspaper. He gets all of his ideas from us, and he's very quick to credit us, so we thank him for it. But it's, you know, he's really, we've helped him out. I think we've probably created a couple shows for him.
Oh, that's marvelous. These are the Daves, my friend, the perfect radio blend of comedy, talk, radio, and more. Yes, these are the Daves. More than 185 episodes of Daves Gone By for your listening pleasure. Long drive home? Pop in a Dave. In the mood for a funny sketch? Pop in a Dave. All CDs come in jewel cases with full packaging, just $11. New low price, same free shipping and handling. Add a dollar, and I'll autograph the cover. Don't know which episode? Visit davesgoneby.org or email davesgoneby@aol.com and ask for the CD list. These are the Daves, my friend. Makes a great gift to send. Give them a try if you love Daves Gone By.
This is Chris Shaw from the New York Post, one of the co-authors of Headless Body and Topless Bar, and you are listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB Freeport.
Chris Shaw, who is one of the main co-authors of Headless Body and Topless Bar. By the way, where can people get this New York Post headline compilation book?
Well, they can get it at any of the major bookstores, at a Barnes & Noble, or they can get it online through Amazon, or they can actually go to our website, www.nypost.com, and you can order it through there.
So it's an official New York Post book. It's put out by HarperCollins, so it has the blessing of Rupert and all that.
Indeed.
Cool. Let me ask you a couple of things more generically or generally about the New York Post and also your place in it. What kind of stories do you normally cover?
Okay, well, I mean, my title now at the newspaper is Vice President of Digital Media. I was the managing editor for 6 years, and that's where I spent a lot of time on what we call the backbench and working on the headlines and sitting in the editorial meetings daily. And so I was very involved in this process for a long time, and it was great, great fun. I now spend the majority of my time working on our digital properties and looking to the future of the newspaper.
Nice. Okay. Let me ask the other question about the Post, and I guess everybody's kind of curious. I personally know that not everybody working there is right-wing Republican. What would you say the balance is of people who are really feel what the newspaper's stand is and folks who are just writing towards what the newspaper's slant is, even if they're not necessarily as right?
I understand the question.
Yeah.
Look, we're as large a newspaper as we are. I think we're the fifth largest newspaper in the country. We sell over 700,000 newspapers a day. We're a very small staff, comparatively. I mean, we're about half to a third of the size of the Times, probably 60% of the size of the staff of the Daily News. And really what we are is a small, hungry group of very competitive people, and who go about their own jobs and appreciate, I think, the difference that our opinion pages bring to the paper every day. It makes us stand out in the market a little bit. It is, we are the only ones certainly in the city who voices these opinions. And I just think that, you know, for the most part, the reporters, and they just don't get involved in that. They're more interested in their own beats and making sure they've got the best stories they can do. And honestly, it's nothing that they overtly think about. They're just going about their own jobs.
Okay. I don't, on a lot of levels, necessarily agree with the Post, but at the same time, it is the most fun paper to read. If I want sports, I'm going to read Phil Mushnick,
who
has been on this program. If I want, as a theater person, I will read Michael Riedel religiously. He's a friend of mine also, and he's been on the show. But, you know, that's the column everybody I know turns to on Wednesdays and Fridays because he's digging the dirt that nobody else is. And it's just more fun for some reason to read the Post than all the others.
Well, we like to think so. And look, we're often imitated, but we don't think anyone has really got it down right. I mean, I have incredible respect for my editor-in-chief. His name is Carl Allen. And his tabloid sensibility in terms of his understanding of that, what he's trying to find every single day are stories that are going to interest readers. He encourages his staff to not only go about stories, obviously, the right way, but to find the stories that people are going to be interested in. He really thinks that we work for the readers as opposed to the other way around. And it's a very different way to edit a newspaper, but it's been a successful one for us. And honestly, I mean, Dave, in the last 5 years, it's a difficult business, and we're a newspaper that has grown from 440,000 circulation to 700,000 circulation.
Nice.
So,
and it's not like Newsday where, you know, half that circulation is floating in the river in bags.
That's right.
Sorry, I had to get that dig in there. We're finishing our chat, our delightful chat with Chris Shaw, who is a co-author of Headless Body and Topless Bar, the best headlines from America's favorite newspaper, a.k.a. the New York Post. Give us a couple more examples from the book of headlines that you cherish over the years.
Well, I'll tell you, one I liked that I personally was involved in, and was we had thought a long time about what are we going to do when Barry Bonds gets his 756th home run. We do feel a responsibility, Dave, sometimes that we kind of have to get this right, that people are going to be looking to us. And it was an idea I actually had thought of, and whether it worked or not, I have no idea, but I still liked it. We wrote the number 756 in syringes on page one, and that was it. That was the only headline. So the next morning when everyone woke up, they had watched SportsCenter, they had whatever, they knew it happened, but that's all you saw, huge, probably at 500-point syringes, 756.
For that alone, the New York Post should live and be well. Even when it enrages me, even when I'm like, you know, lay off the Clintons already. I mean, not Hillary, but Bill at least, you know.
Right.
That was 8 years ago. Hello, get over it. he was a lot better than our current. But anyway, still gotta love the Post. And gotta love this new book, Headless Body and Topless Bar, from HarperCollins, William Morrow imprint. And also thanking so much Chris Shaw for bringing these headlines to the Daverhood.
Thank you, Dave.